back. WNST, Towson Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. We are finally there, the postseason, but we're not there. We're here in the offseason. The golf clubs are out. The draft board is now out. Dennis Colazzos joins us now from Coon Sports, Security Boulevard, and we'll be getting the look. I'm not inviting you to Indianapolis. I'm not going to Indianapolis. I don't want to go to Indianapolis. You had your chance to go to Indianapolis when they moved the draft and the combine to someplace warmer, Orlando.
I think they're moving it to the West.
Yeah, they're
going to move it to the West Coast.
Well, yeah, then I'll LA. Take you then. We'll go then. How about that?
Okay.
I hope we're not drafting any higher than 14 because, you know, if you draft higher than 14, it probably means you have to fire the coach or fire coordinators or not sign the quarterback or bench everyone. Boy, it really is amazing in the aftermath. Like, I stopped taking phone calls then, and I don't know what you're going to say. I have no idea. You have your show on Thursday. You have your own opinions, and people see things a certain way. This has been an amazing thing, watching them lose 6 games in a row for the first time, like, ever. Right? Blowing an 8-3 for the first time ever and not making the playoffs, being on the outside, but playing with a backup quarterback, playing with backup everybody. I know you and I talked about it last week. I was on your show. I said, I can't be too angry about it. But in the aftermath of all of it, I think that there's palpable disappointment in Owings Mills. And I think there's going to be a lot of activity in the offseason related to losing 6 games in a row.
Yeah, I would agree with you. Look, they lost 25-30 players. That's 50% of their players. So any business that loses 50% of their staff, particularly the top 50, for lack of a better term, right, they're going to struggle. So to me, look, it's an unfair assessment if we're to look at the team its totality. Certainly we're disappointed with a 6-game losing streak, but it's going to be a long offseason. They have to overturn every rock, from conditioning program to the field, to the veterans, to the free agents, to the draft class. A lot of work has to be done, Ness, but you can't. And I had somebody say, fire the coach to me today. And to me, to call for John Harbaugh's head, you just don't know football. I had a friend of mine from Miami. He was disappointed that they canned Flores down there. And so, you know, who knows? It's the NFL, right?
So we're half the guys on the team in Miami, right? And Chicago is going through that now. And they'll pick up the pieces in Minnesota, where Mike Zimmer got fired, who's a very good man. And yeah, you know, a guy I've gotten to know, you know, pretty well over the last decade through some friends that I have in Minnesota. So, you know, it's a tough part of the week and a tough part of the business. But like, I didn't get any questions in the post game. I raised my hand at one point, I think for Calais Campbell. They didn't call on me. I'm like Arnold Horshack. Hello, over here. I got a question. So I didn't get any questions at all. But if I had question for all of them, and I think for the more veteran guys, and maybe even for Snoop Huntley and the younger guys, but the season, and this is to my 27 years of watching Ravens football, felt very incomplete. And it feels like if I were the teacher and had to put a report card, if I were Mike Preston or someone as important to that doing a report card, I call it incomplete. I mean, I can't judge Greg Roman or Wink Martindale on a defense that didn't have Marcus Peters and didn't have Marlon Humphrey and didn't have half of what it wanted to have on the defensive line. I don't know if I'm judging Greg Roman on an offense that was built around having big fat fullbacks blowing up holes and offensive linemen like Ronnie Stanley that are, you know, lottery pick, Hall of very good, those kinds of players, and trying to replicate the offense with Snoop Huntley for a quarter of the season. You would have told me that Lamar was going to get hurt and not play the month of December into January. I would have said, they're not going to be very good. And they were winless. They're 0-6 without Lamar, right?
Yeah, this should put all the rest, all the talk to bed about Tyler Huntley being able to replace Lamar Jackson at a much cheaper price. We saw him for what he is. He's a good player, not a great player. He's a backup. He's serviceable. But he's certainly not a generational MVP talent like Lamar Jackson. So I think that's one of the positives, if you will. And I think that's the key. I think teams can overcome injuries to a lot of places. But a quarterback, I look at Ryan Tannehill, and Tennessee. Sure, they lost Derrick Henry, but I can't tell you who Tennessee's backup quarterback is, right? So, and I'm sure their fan base don't want to find out either. But when you lose a talent such as Lamar Jackson for the last six games of the season, last five games of the season, it certainly doesn't help your cause. And it's you can't begin to evaluate the team, as you mentioned, on either side of the ball, given the rash of injuries that they faced.
I want to be kind to Eric DaCosta here in the aftermath of this. And I want to be kind to John Harbaugh in the aftermath of this, because despite playing with a backup quarterback, backup everything in every way, in some cases, second and third string in all along the watch, whether it's the running backs and bringing guys in off the street and Jimmy Smith and Tony Jefferson running around playing defense at the end of the year, for them to come close and for them to get a representative team out on the field in every game other than the Cincinnati games. And I think Cincinnati separated themselves, at least for now, for what this roster is and for where their roster is and is going right now. They've separated themselves from Pittsburgh too. We watched Pittsburgh play on Sunday, and I mean, they're playing next week, which, you know, the playoffs are watered down if they're still playing, but, and that's no disrespect to the shield of the Steelers. Just, they're not a very good team, but the Ravens as constructed on Sunday, I said they would struggle to win three or four games. And that's a tribute to Eric DaCosta to say that your backups could go in and win four games in this league.
Well, the unfortunate part, Ness, is they're in a position to win several of those games. And this past game against the Steelers, they stopped running the ball in the red zone. They got cute. Same thing with the Rams. So there are no moral victories in the NFL. It's win or lose. They are what the record says they are, Ness, 8-9. And I think with some better decisions by the coaching staff on both sides of the ball, they may have been able to eke out perhaps one or two more victories. And I think everything's going to be under review in the offseason, as it should be. And as I mentioned in past segments, even perfect apples, they get bruised if they don't get turned over once in a while. So there may be staleness because you've had the same coordinators on both sides of the ball. That may be part of an issue that this team needs to address. Sometimes fresh blood, a fresh set of eyeballs can do wonders for an organization.
Well, if it's going to happen, this is the time. Dennis Colazzo's is here. He'll be here on Thursday, driving you home from 3 until 5. It is the Dennis Colazzo Show. You can find him out on Twitter at The Colazzo Show. You can also find him at Acoons of Baltimore on Security Boulevard. And you can find new or pre-loved vehicles. And, of course, you need any service. You need some great wisdom and some nice folks. Make sure you stop over and see those. You know, I wore your Charger blue here. And then the league is crazy, right? That it... At 3:30, I'm watching the Ravens. The Jaguars are kicking the snot out of the Colts. And I'm starting to get visions of purple sugar plums in my head and thinking, yeah, like Miami and New England and then the Chargers, and things are going to, they're not going to tie. And the Steelers thought the same thing until, like, the Steelers were up at 11 o'clock at night and you're about to get tied out of the league. Boy, to wake up a Chargers fan, right? Like, how did they screw that up? Screw themselves into not playing next week? Like, I the thought that the Chargers and the Raiders would have some FBI investigation detente to sit on the ball and tie. And I'm thinking, those two franchises came together and couldn't keep the Rams out of LA. How could they come together and figure anything out in 4 hours?
No, that's a great point. And that was, you got a Brandon Staley, the rookie head coach of the Chargers, make just not in the game against the Raiders, but throughout the entire season, he's made some very, very bad analytical calls, right? So all of his analytics kept the Chargers out of the playoffs. So sometimes you got to use common sense, right? Versus what some computer spitting out. The computer doesn't know situational game situations and emotions and momentum and things of that nature. Things that can't be measured by a computer. I think he's a good coach, and hopefully he'll use this season to learn. But it is a topsy-turvy NFL. The 14 teams in the tournament now, and it's going to be a lot of fun, even watching from the sidelines.
Well, the league makes for the strangest bedfellows, right? Like, so we're pulling for the Jaguars, who got our expansion team, to beat the Colts, who at one point the owner landed at the Gator Bowl and was going to bring the Baltimore Colts to Jacksonville. And like, I'm watching all this and, you know, my 53 years on the planet and all of my angst toward the Steelers. And I don't know if you know, last week I shared a video of Myron Cope calling an Oiler return of a Terry Bradshaw pass in the playoff game for an interception for a touchdown. And I shared that for my old Oiler angst. So like, there's all of this that bakes into this, but then there's the part where like we backdoored allowed the Pittsburgh Steelers into the playoffs, but they got in, but the Colts didn't get in, and the Redskins aren't in. So that's good. You know, I'm trying to figure out who I'm rooting for here. Yeah. Like I'm sort of taking on the Bengals to some degree more than the Bills, I guess, but being out of this thing and having 14 teams running around here to play the next couple of weeks, I'm not going to watch football. I'm going to be watching Saturday because it is Super Wild Card weekend, as you know. Saturday, three games on Sunday. Then we're going to play on Monday night. So during a plague, man, I'm fine. I got to find a team, though. I'm thinking Bengals.
Yeah, it should be a lot of fun. I haven't thought it through as deeply as you have, Nesta. For me, I'm such a hater. I have a hard time cheering for anybody. But Steelers couldn't get them off the field on third down. They convert a miraculous 4th-and-8, right? The Calais Campbell, I thought he was going to knock down that pass. And Ben Roethlisberger wins what's probably his last game in a regular season against the Baltimore Ravens.
And but we were trying to make it his last game ever, and we did not accomplish ever. That. And for that, we will have to watch him play on Sunday night in Kansas City and hopefully become a sacrificial Steeler at that point.
Yeah, you know what? I hope the Chiefs beat them 45-0. You know, I dislike that franchise. I dislike those yellow towels. Dislike seeing them in the seats at the M&T Bank Stadium, right? They
that
did travel
rough.
Well. They
that
came,
was rough.
They showed up. Yeah, they came out. And also, don't feel bad about not getting your questions answered at the presser, because I saw the presser, and even the guys who got their questions answered had no answers, right? Coach Harbaugh was very tight-lipped and very, I thought, kind of sarcastic a couple of times in his comments.
Yeah, I'm going to be taking a deeper dive into who's asking the questions and where's the accountability and where's the owner and where's the state of the Ravens and when do we get to ask the general manager questions and yeah. And, you know, they sign in the quarterback. We'll go into all of this, but in the meantime, they are going to go into a little bit of a cocoon here this week, right? I would think the coaching carousel and however, and you never know how that's going to play out. You never know who covets Dan Quinn, who covets Jim Harbaugh, who covets Brian Flores. All the way along, that's going to play itself out. But the actual football on the field the next couple of weeks, it's a pretty good tournament. I mean, COVID aside and anything weird that could happen, decent matchups, decent games, emerging players, franchises like Cincinnati and Buffalo trying to sniff it and get after it, and then trying to knock off Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers. So for that, I tip my cap to the NFL for keeping this thing going and keeping it interesting, because it has been interesting. It's been good. So good, I almost could bet on it.
Hey, you know what? If I had a bet, I'd look at the Chiefs and the Titans and the AFC and the Green Bay Packers and the Dallas Cowboys and the NFC. That's what I'm looking at.
You know, Dennis, with all this gambling money running around now, and I got my Maryland Lottery friends, and John Martin comes on every week, and we got the casinos like open for real now, right? They've been open 3 weeks. I don't think I'm going to pick against the spreads during the playoffs, but I might, because back in the day, and I'm not going to put grease in my hair and get a 1-900 number and start charging 75 cents a minute. All right. But I did pick games and did a pretty credible job at picking against spreads. Although I've never been a gambler, but I know that's like the rage. It's what all the kids are doing these days, is picking the games and the over under. And I mean, hell, Phil Simms and Boomer Esiason are like they're like the fluff act for this. They're like the last thing that happens before kickoff is to see who the Super Bowl quarterbacks are betting on now, right? So I'm figuring this is going to be part of our shtick moving forward. We're going to pick games moving forward, okay, and see if we're any good at it. What do you think?
Hey, I just gave you the Final Four, and I kept Tom Brady and the Buccaneers out of it. So There you go. There you have it.
I mean, there's a part of an accountability that I could hold you. I'll write them all down every week. We used to do pigskin pick them around here. We used to have a fax machine that would go 24 hours a day. We'd have to feed hundreds of pages. We'd have 2,000 faxes, and intern John would grade them on Monday. So to see who – seriously. Dude, it was like a $100 gift card to Ruth's Chris. It was something big. It was important. But this is what we did in 1998-99, that like pigskin pick'em was like the biggest thing ever. Now everybody can pick and everybody can gamble. I want in on it. I want to play and see if I'm any good at it or not.
Okay. You know what? I jumped back into fantasy football, and I went down and out, but I lost the Super Bowl. I came in second place in my league, and there was a couple of dollars that we had to get in there. So I got a gift card. My quarterback was Josh Allen.
That's why you lost.
Well, where I lost it was at running back. That's where I lost it at. But that's another story. But I came back from being 4-8 to the Super Bowl.
You know, it's like we used to say about this about fantasy. When it came on the radio, I'm like, nobody cares about your fantasy team. You know what I mean? Like I kept thinking, you want to do a show about fantasy football? Yep. Nobody cares about your fantasy team. And I'm thinking this is like the John Harbaugh thing. No one cares. Work harder. You're second place. Work harder. This is going to be a work harder off season for them. I don't think there's any doubt about that then.
You know, that's a positive too. And the other part of it is if there was ever a season where they would tank like this, not tank, but go 8-9, they have, I think, 5 fourth round draft picks. They have a lot of draft capital. They should be able to get better players, right? When's the last time they picked 14th overall? So I do think there is a silver lining in the storm and the fact that they should be able to get a good haul of young, fresh players in there, hopefully players that won't get injured or aren't injury prone or are not going to wear out like some of these veterans, some of these guys that are over 30 years old in this team.
Here's one thing I would say about, and this is sort of first blush because the game's still fresh to me. I'm not in draft mode in any way. I mean, Luke and I have had 10 conversations the last 3 weeks about what if Calais Campbell and probably not on Brandon Williams and probably not on Sammy Watkins and, you know, maybe not on Marcus Peters given a price and like all of that, right? So how all of that relates to the draft and where they're going to find football players in this next round of football players, I would definitely say this when it comes to drafting and drafting 14 and wherever they, whatever 56, 81, 121, whatever those numbers are for all of this, they have a lot of holes on this football team. I mean, you're like that. That's not me being disrespectful to 6 losses in a row or 8-9, but they're other than wide receiver for the first time in 25 years. I don't know what that there's not something they couldn't take in the draft that would shock me, whether it would be a corner, whether it be a defensive lineman, whether it be a middle linebacker, whether it would be somebody on the offensive line that they feel like could be an anchor. All of those positions are open because they don't have a lot of great players. I mean, let's just call it where it is, right? Like they like a Marlon Humphrey, Ronnie Stanley, Marcus Peters, all these guys coming back from injuries. Reddick, I mean, all these guys coming back from injury. Yeah. We'll see. We'll find out whether they're elite players or not. But other than Justin Tucker at this point and Mark Andrews, you know, the rest of the roster is a little open for suggestion to me.
Oh, it certainly is. But again, the Ravens are an organization that never rebuild. They retool, they reload. And because of the 10 draft picks that they have in front of them, they'll be able to retool this team on the fly. And hopefully, with everybody coming back, J.K. Dobbins and everybody else, hopefully Ronnie Stanley, they'll be a better team in 2022. So to me, there's a lot of exciting things ahead of us to talk about once we get through the stench of losing to those no-good Pittsburgh Steelers, which is still lingering with us today.
Let's get some guys healthy, you know, just to get them healthy in the offseason, get ready to play. We're 9 months away from football. Dennis Colatos is less than 48 hours away from joining you on Thursday from 3 until 5. It is the Dennis Colatos Show. You can find him at D. Colatos Show as well as at Coons Baltimore Ford out of Security Boulevard. I'm wearing the Coons shirt. What's going on out there? Start of the year here. What's 22s on the lot? Is that what's happening now, Dan? What's going on with Coons?
Yeah, we have more 22s than 21s. They're still arriving at a slow pace. We'd like to see more of them, but we still have more new vehicles than all of our competitors, which is exciting news for us. And plus over 200 pre-loved vehicles that are just the cream of the crop, Maryland State inspected and ready to roll. So business is very good. Still, the interest rates are very cheap, very low. But the new car shortage continues, and that's, I think, it's going to be still a big story in 2022.
Well, we got to get there, and you need wheels, you know? Well, if you got no money, you got no car, you got no woman in there, you are. I think that was
that's right.
Young MC. I'm dropping a little old school. I like it. Dennis Colazzo's, he can get you your wheels. He is out at Coons Baltimore Ford. He will be here on Thursday, and he is always on the internet. I am Nestor. We are WNST, AM 1570, licking our purple wounds, talking off season, waiting for the next Maryland Crab Cake Tour. We are BaltimorePositive.com.